Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Jim Fitch to the podcast. Welcome, Jim.
Welcome, James. Glad to be here. It's a pleasure.
So, Jim, those that may not be familiar with you as a first-time guest, you are CEO of Noria. You're also a director for ICML. And yes. Along with that, you've been involved in maintenance and reliability for a long period of time, focused on the lubrication end of things. Although that's a very brief background, can you expand on that for us?
So, yeah, I mean, I've, like a lot of people that have been on your done podcasts for you, I've been in the reliability and maintenance field for a long time, probably about 40 years. I got initially involved when I was in college, and I wrote an article in 1977 on the history of hydraulics. That kind of got things started for me. I began working in my father's research lab at Oklahoma State University about that same time. Learned about fluids and lubricants, testing, oil analysis, kind of cut my teeth there. About 1981, I started a company called Diagnetics. This was a company that was focused on oil analysis, on-site oil analysis, in particular, portable oil analysis instruments. And we developed a number of instruments and kind of based on the vision of my father, who was a researcher and scientist and wrote many books kind of in this field. And that company, over a period of years, continued to grow. We got into filter testing, manufactured a number of different proprietary instruments. And in 97, the company was sold to the to Intec IRD, which soon became a division of Rockwell Automation. And that kind of gave me my wings. I wanted to take advantage of kind of my learning and experience in lubrication and oil analysis. And with a couple of colleagues, I started Noria Corporation in January of 1998. So we're about 21 years old today. And our mission at Noria was different, definitely still in maintenance, reliability, lubrication, and so forth. But we decided to focus on knowledge and information, or the dissemination of knowledge and information. So that's kind of been our stock and trade ever since. And our business model is based on building a website of information. Today, we've got well over 10,000 pages of content on our website, published a couple of magazines, conferences, training, consulting. We collect knowledge and information in a lot of different ways, like stamp collectors, and then we disseminate that to primarily user organizations. So Noria was kind of founded on the basis that there was kind of unmet opportunity out there. And we often say that the premise of our founding was based on the fact that maintenance was the number one most controllable expenditure in the plant. And controllable is kind of the operative word here. Every plant has a hidden plant that must be found. Lubrication is the number one cause of machine wear and failure. And there's no greater influence on the state of lubrication than human behavior. Noria has spent a lot of time focusing on human behavior. And all progress depends on change, and change must be enabled. So that's kind of the founding elements of our organization. So we're trying to kind of close that knowing, doing gap, do a lot of assessments out there with user organizations. We learn from them. We see opportunity. We also, in that opportunity, see the kind of low-hanging fruit, the quick kills that enable user organizations to take advantage of kind of new ways of doing things in the lubrication field.
All right, excellent. And you're also heavily involved with IMCL. And that was the reason why we're here today, is to talk about IMCL 55. So what is IMCL 55?
And so your acronym is just about right. It's ICML, and that stands for the International Council of Machinery Lubrication. So ICML 55 is a standard, and it's the world's first standard of its type. And it was created from a four-year mission by the board of directors of the ICML. I'm a member of the board, and it was created as a subsidiary standard to ISO 55000. So ISO 55000 is an asset management standard. And it deals with all types of assets. And when I first heard about ISO 55000, it was new to me. And really the general kind of overarching concept of asset management was new to me. And it took me a while to be convinced to understand the need of a standard like that. But as I began to learn more about it and actually read the standard, I realized that the concept behind it was really the missing element that we've been kind of seeking for really 40 years since I've been involved in lubrication, and that missing element is the kind of the purpose and the structure, kind of the glue that binds together and holds the core concepts of lubrication, and creates something like an engineering specification for excellence. In the case of ICML 55, that's lubrication excellence, to help people and organizations do the right things right first time, every time, sort of thing. Not allowing change to relapse to kind of the old business as usual. So asset management is really more of a business model revolution than a technology revolution. It has a lot to do with what people do and how they do them, the sustainability of those things.
All right, excellent. So it's all about that sustainability, really focusing on the lubrication aspect of asset management. Now, why did you guys decide to develop ICML 55? Isn't there enough information out there on lubrication?
Yeah, that's a good point. A lot of people think that, and you can kind of tell that when you go into these organizations and do audits and assessments. As you know, 90% of the time, these organizations have a sense that they're doing things exactly right. They may be, in fact, following the service manuals, instructions, and guidelines of the machines that they own. But when you compare what they're doing with what we know today to be kind of best practice, what we call the optimum reference state, you see that there's a pretty big gap. So that kind of got us excited about ICML or ISO 55000. This is a really a holistic standard, but what it does is it provides something of a North Star. It provides something to focus on. It showed us where we were going, but it didn't necessarily show us how to get there, particularly as it relates to physical mechanical assets. And that's where we saw an opportunity to develop a standard that is more tactical. And when you read the standard ISO 55001, which is a requirement standard for asset management, there are words that are missing from that standard, such as maintenance, reliability, lubrication, inspection, oil analysis, condition monitoring. Those words don't exist. They're kind of referred to in a sense, but they they're not, the standard isn't specific to the meaning that's behind those words. So what we needed was a kind of a nurturing standard that related specifically to lubricated mechanical assets that were associated with the modern, more sophisticated, up-to-date concept of what we refer to as the optimum reference state. And ICML provided a means to develop that standard. Of course, we call that standard ICML 55. It's an enabling standard today. Gives guidance on making decisions, what needs to be done, and why. The only standard that I know of that is broad-based, that focuses on all the main elements of lubrication.
All right, excellent. So it's giving us all that framework, that guidance to achieve what we have to do. Now, who is responsible for developing ICML 55? Was it just yourself? Was it industry leaders? Who was involved?
Yeah, I mean, it was really a lot of the thought leaders of our field that have been around long enough to understand the things that represent our challenges, sustainability being one of those, and dealing with human behavior, and trying to find ways to remediate or correct those issues in a sustainable way. So the ICML has a board of directors of 7 members, and these are professionals that come from different organizations, including user organizations and service providers, instrument manufacturer. And we spent a lot of time talking about in the early days, the possibility of a standard and how it should be constructed and how it would fit and associate itself with the more holistic standard of ISO 55000. So we decided we needed a standard that was a consensus document, and that it wasn't just the work of a few volunteers, but rather a lot of volunteers, a lot of subject matter experts. And so we decided not just to wait for the volunteers to come to us to help us with the standard, but to select volunteers that have the experience, that practice in their field, that have that are trainers and book authors, and come from different types of organizations across many different industries and countries. And so we ended up with 45 of these volunteers, these experts that created this standard. Initially, it was just a few of us, and then more and more people got involved, either as reviewers or editors. And today we have a standard that is recently published that is 52 pages. It is part one of 3 parts. This part one of ICML 55, we call it ICML 55.1, is the what we call the requirements standard. It's like the regulations of and the details of what is necessary to be compliant with the standard overall. And part two, which is in development at this stage, is the kind of how to be compliant. It's the kind of idiot's guide on how to achieve and make the changes within the organization to be compliant with requirements that are specified in part one.
All right. So wide cross-functional group of people, lots of back and forth, I can imagine. Someone would draft out a standard, the review panel would review it, make updates, go back to the drafting board. How long did it take to develop?
Well, it took too long, actually. But initially, we decided that we needed to develop an outline, a very detailed outline that had, you know, the granularity that people could understand and would include all the subjects that needed to be addressed. And so we spent a lot of time with that outline and exposed it to several people that have the experience and know how to give us the feedback. Once we got the outline approved, then we decided that we needed to draft this standard using a contractor specialist. In this case, it was Drew Troyer, someone that's been in this field for a long time, former employee of Noria Corporation. Drew's been out on his own for almost 10 years now as a consultant and trainer, very experienced in lubrication and equally experienced in maintenance reliability, highly respected. The ICML contracted Drew to produce the first kind of rough draft of this standard to the outline that was developed, and Drew did that. Once that standard was created, then we broke it up and handed parts of it off to different other subject matter experts, starting with our board of directors. Then that expanded out to others that among the 45 that eventually became involved with it.
All right. So you guys took a logical approach to it, broke it out, and you said you separated it out to the different subject matter experts based on areas or content. Now, ICML 55 has 12 areas. What are those 12 areas that ICML covers?
Yeah. So we call these the Big 12, and they go beyond lubrication and oil analysis. They go beyond maintenance. They go beyond just reliability. And we developed these 12 areas to also align with what ISO 55000 is trying to do. So ISO 55000 is a standard that is modeled after ISO 9001 and other standards that are designed to kind of harmonize together. And so we wanted ICML 55 to be structurally similar. And so ISO 55000 starts with the organization's goals and objectives, and then it looks at how the assets within the organization is aligned. The plan for those assets is aligned with those goals and objectives. And so we wanted to just bring that down to more of a tactical level in lubrication and related to mechanical assets. And so that's where these 12 categories or the Big 12 came from. And some of these are quite large in themselves. It could, in essence, be broken into many more categories. But the 12 start with skills related to jobs and tasks, training and competency testing. Next is the machine itself, so as it relates to the machine's readiness in lubrication and condition monitoring, for instance. Then the third one is the lubricant, the selection and the supply and handling of the lubricant. Then the next is lubrication. Lubrication is relates to the things people do, routine and periodic lubrication tasks, all fit within the lubrication category. It's a huge category. Tools is number five. These include support facilities as well as hand and portable tools, also a very big category. Number six is inspection. This relates to the machine as well as the lubricant and the way, the many different ways that you inspect the machine. Again, a very big category. And of course, inspection is a part of condition monitoring, which brings us to number seven, which is oil analysis, and the way oil analysis interacts with other types of condition monitoring. So oil analysis, very big category. Number eight is troubleshooting and root cause failure analysis. Number nine is waste handling and management. Number 10 is energy conservation and environmental factors. Number 11 is reclamation, oil reclamation, and system decontamination and just general contamination control of lubricants. And the last one is management, it's leadership, it's metrics, it's programmatic features. So again, there's 52 pages in this part one. It kind of takes lubrication, you know, horizontally across all aspects of how lubricants are used and handled and applied to achieve higher levels of reliability at lowest possible cost. It's also kind of cradle to grave as lubricants are used and aged and eventually need to be removed and disposed of.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
All right, so the Big 12 definitely covers a ton of information. Like you said, each one of these can be broken up to a number of subtopics or sub areas. You know, lubricant analysis or inspection, those are just massive in themselves. So with those 12 areas established within ICML 55, does that provide us a framework for implementing a proper or full lubrication program?
Yeah, what it does is it's a requirement standard. So in that sense, it provides a framework. But there's not details yet, and nor is it the intention of that part one to provide those details on how to fulfill those requirements or even to make the decision as to whether that particular requirement applies. So that still has to be done at a user level. Of course, part two is can be used to facilitate and assist in enabling organizations to achieve those different requirements that are there. So some of this can be done by self-training and or taking classes in lubrication, getting advice from consultants and experts. A lot of different ways to do this, but at least you have that framework. You have the kind of the game plan or the outline or the specification of what you're trying to do, and you can kind of follow through that. Again, not everything applies in this standard to every organization, certainly every machine, but you at least have the list there. You have the elements to consider, and you can make the choices based on what that list is. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. Some organizations will choose to take these requirements and build something of a internal or plant-based lubrication kind of handbook that becomes their local guide and game plan for not only achieving lubrication excellence and compliance with ICML 55, but also sustaining that over a period of time.
All right, excellent. So it provides that requirements, provides that framework or playbook, and plan, not the playbook. And that's where ICML 55.2 is going to come in, right? That's going to give us more of the details behind everything.
That's exactly right.
When do you expect that to be?
Yeah, that's going to take a while. So, well, ICML 55.1 is 52 pages. The part two, ICML 55.2, is going to be, you know, if it's less than 300 pages, I'd be surprised. It could be much more than that. We're trying to, we've provided some ideas and some suggestions to our various technical authors that are helping us with it, to keep it, within a certain scope and volume of work. But, some of these sections are lengthy and they need to be lengthy. So we don't really know exactly how long it's going to take or the size of this document, but again, probably hundreds of pages. And we're going to have, it's going to take some time also to get a consensus across our different volunteers and experts before we're ready to publish. So our goal would be next year, and I think that's achievable, and we're already making progress today.
Excellent. Now, even without 55.2 right now and just having the requirements document 55.1, what are the benefits you expect or hope this would bring to organizations that choose to adopt it or follow it?
Well, the benefits, kind of like we've already discussed, James, you know, there's companies that are out there that are trying to do their best in lubrication. And Noria, as a service provider and training organization, and, you know, that's my day job, is working hard to help companies get there. And you know, many of them in the beginning kind of thought that they knew what they were doing and that things were already okay. But, you know, after they've attended a class or spent some time, you know, studying, you know, modern concept and lubrication, realize there's a lot of gaps, and these gaps can be pretty substantial. And so the benefits come from kind of filling in those gaps and enabling lubricants and lubrication to function at a very high level. You know, industry kind of runs on a film of oil, and the quality and state of that oil has a lot to do with the life expectancy and service life of the machine and the lubricant itself. And there's a lot of choices that organizations make and to try to get you know, long service life and high levels of reliability at low cost. And some of those choices are not based on good information or modern concepts. So this standard kind of helps provide a roadmap so that they can make better choices. You know, it's not just about buying the best lubricant. You know. And there's, it doesn't matter how good a lubricant you have, lubricant itself can't solve a lot of problems that are lubrication related. So lubricants are what we buy. Lubrication is what we do. Reliability has a lot more to do with lubrication and the things people do or don't do that they should do that affects reliability. So it's a behavioral science. You know, machines don't just die, but they're murdered. We've heard that. How are they murdered? They're murdered in a lot of different ways. And so this standard enables these decisions to be made and with a greater degree of understanding and enables transformation within the organization to be kind of sustainable, and that, you know, it doesn't divert off in this direction or that direction, but is more of a straight line from point A to point B. It brings together, you know, elements and ideas and vision and experience from people that have been down these roads, you know, many, many times and have seen world class and have seen, you know, the worst and everything in between. And so we have their experience and guidance, and that's, you know, that's what this standard can and does provide. But mostly I think it's sustainability. You know, it's something that will sustain, you know, shifting ground, changing machines, new machines, old machines, aged machines, changing people, changing management, changing ownership, changing technology, all these shifting ground issues that all organizations face. You know, how does a lubrication sustain itself at a high level over these changes, over this period of time? So asset management in general helps enable that. And ICML 55, as it relates to lubricated mechanical assets, provides that at a tactical level. So ISO 55000, that's like the forest. You know, we want to have a healthy, vibrant, productive forest. But in order to do that, we've got to have healthy, vibrant, productive trees. We got to take care of those trees. And so this standard is a nurturing standard. It's you know, good advice from experienced experts on how to nurture the trees so you end up with a healthy, vibrant forest.
All right. Excellent. I liked a couple key things you said there. You know, ISO 55001, that provides, you know, the strategy for asset management, but IMCL 55.1 is really focused on the tactical piece for the lubrication portion. If we don't have a healthy lubrication system, how are we going to have healthy assets, and how is that going to impact our overall strategy, right? So it's kind of that cascading event. The other thing you touched on is that machines don't die. They're murdered. And I never thought about it that way, but that is 100% true. We put the wrong lubricant in it. We don't lubricate properly or frequently enough or introduce contamination. We do all these things that causes it to die. So in fact, that is murder. So lots of good things that this ICML 55 will bring to us. Now, where can people get their hands on ICML 55?
So it's a published standard through the International Council for Machinery Lubrication, the ICML. So they sell it, I think, today for $175. It's worth many times that. So you can go to their website, which is lubecouncil.org, just call them. I'm sorry, you don't have their phone number handy, but you can get it on their website, and you can get a I think today they just have a published printed version of it, maybe soon to have it available in an electronic or PDF form. So I would contact ICML for that.
All right, excellent. I'll put a link in the show notes so they can get to lubecouncil.org. I'll put their email address and phone number so people can reach out easily. Jim, if you had a magic wand, what is the one thing you would change in how organizations manage the lubrication program? Would it be to adopt ICML 55? Would it be something else? If you had that magic wand, what would it be?
Yeah, so, you know, lubrication is a very, very old field. In fact, it's probably older than the world's first machine, which is the Noria, an old water wheel. And so, you know, a lot of things have changed. A lot of thoughts have changed. A lot of tribal knowledge out there. Lots of what I call lubrication UFOs, which are, you know, concepts and folklore that people have believed to be true or the right things to do in a plant. And, you know, some of these plants are over 100 years old. That today are outdated in a very significant way. You know, we've learned a few things since 1955, but yet, you know, many of the practices we see day to day in these plants have not changed. So, you know, the magic wand would be to create an awareness that is sustainable, an awareness that we need to, you know, maybe start with a clean sheet of paper. And kind of re-engineer, reinvent lubrication, and get it right, and to focus on the things that are within our realm of control, the controllable things, and this relates to the way machines are equipped or accessorized for lubrication. Certainly, the type of lubricant we're using. We're trying to optimize reliability. We're not trying to maximize reliability. We're trying to find do things in a precision way, precision lubricant, the precision standard or procedure, work methods, precision tools, precision, oil analysis program and tests and alarms and limits, all these choices. And much of it is attitude or behavior related. It's leadership related. And so the magic wand is to wake people up, to see the low-hanging fruit and to begin harvesting that fruit. You don't really have to climb the tree very far to get a lot of a benefit that's out there. And it requires initiative. It requires action. You know, the world rewards action. That means doing something. And that's new and different and stop doing what you've always done. And that's the magic wand for me.
All right. Excellent. Great words of wisdom there. Now I'm going to have you think about that and break that down one more level. What is the one thing you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today? The one thing that they can do different, go do tomorrow, based on that one, based on everything we talked about?
The one thing would be, I think, education. Education, you know, it seemed like every successful transformation that we've been involved with or that we've observed or we published in our magazines, case studies, success stories, these sorts of things, it almost all started with education. And usually there was some individual, somebody that wanted to make change happen. So if you can get yourself into an education program on lubrication, oil analysis, and kind of flank that with other courses and maintenance and reliability and condition monitoring, asset management. If you have a good foundation of education, you're taught by visionaries and leaders and people with lots of experience, trusted advisors. Now you've got a foundation that you can go and begin the transformation within your plan.
All right. Great words of wisdom. Start the education process. Learn what is best practice. Learn how to do these things so you can start that transformation. Well, Jim, I know you're a busy guy, but before you go, where can people find out more about you, ICML55, Noria? Where can people find out more?
Okay. So Noria is pretty well known out there. So Noria.com or machinerylubrication.com. Again, tens of thousands of pages of information. We've all the magazine articles from dating back to 1998 are still out there. You can go to Google and just put just about any word related to lubrication or oil analysis and the word Noria, and it'll bring it right to our site there. We're very active in social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, all of that. I try to do a post on LinkedIn about once a week. We also have resources that you can, they're commercial in nature, such as our bookstore, our online training, our public training, do a lot of consulting, root cause, failure analysis, general consulting, transformation services. All of these things are how we pay the bills, our stock and trade, the dissemination of what we've learned in various ways to those out there that have a need and can benefit from that knowledge.
All right, excellent. I will make sure to put links to all those in the show notes so people can easily find those links, get in touch with you, get in touch with the team at Noria. Now, before we go, if you had to recommend a particular resource that you wanted to share with our listeners, what would it be?
When you say resource, what do you mean exactly by that, James?
So it might be your favorite book at the Noria bookstore.
I just read a book by Ron Moore that was actually discussed in one of your podcasts, Sweat, Tool, and Win, I think is the name of that book. I don't think we're selling it on our bookstore, but I tell you what, I like that book for a number of different reasons, and I've used kind of the foundation elements of that book in a column I just wrote for Machinery Lubrication on how you kind of navigate through transformational change in an organization. And I've connected that to ICML 55 and put it in the context of ICML 55. I have, a lot of books in my library, and I like having access to reference material. The Noria bookstore, we have, in oil analysis, first we have our oil analysis basics book, but many others there that if it's in our bookstore, you can be sure that it's one that we fully support as representing, sort of things that Noria supports and believes in. So that's where I'd go.
All right. Excellent. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about ICML 55, all the great work done by that team, the great document that's out there, 55.1, the work that's going on for 55.2. It was very eye-opening. I think this is a document that will help lots of organizations take those next steps or first steps, depending on where they're at, to improving the lubrication program within their facility. So thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity, and appreciate what you're doing for the reliability field, James.
Thank you.
Take care.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.